You're so good. You're so wonderful. Hallelujah. And I just bless you for that. And Father, I pray that every listener, Father, will have ears to hear, a heart to receive. May they have a life-changing experience tonight with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, for your anointing and call upon my life. And I'm resting in that right now. And we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Now, I started last week here at Psalm 105, excuse me, 103. Did I tell you 105 before? If I did, I didn't mean, I said 103. Okay. Praise God. Psalm 103. And once again, my subject is the reason for praise and thanksgiving. Reason for praise and thanksgiving. This is the time when we need to continue to praise the Lord. And matter of fact, not just continue praising the Lord, but to praise God even more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you, well, I've ministered to you and read to you Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, where it tells us to rise and shine. For our light has come. And it goes on to talk about darkness covering the earth and gross darkness the people. So it doesn't matter how dark it get, we should be praising God even more. We should be magnifying God even more because God is still light. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, God is still light. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you, whatever you do, don't stop praising God. Matter of fact, praise Him even more. Amen. And here's the thing, and this is where we're going again. Praise opened the doors for good things to happen. And again, we see Jehoshaphat as a good example of that. Now, I won't go there tonight, this evening, but they praised God, and God fought their battles for them. How many times have we worried ourselves to sleep, worried ourselves sick, trying to fight our own battles, trying to solve our own problems, when the Word of God tells us very plainly to cast our cares over on Him. And we're not casting our cares over on a God that don't care. Where I say a God that don't care, there's only one God. Amen. But it says to cast our cares over on Him because He cares for us. He cares for us. I'm so glad to know that God cares about me. Amen. And God wants what's best for me. So now, in Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1, this is a Psalm of David. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." In other words, he was saying, give it all you got. Don't be half-hearted about it. If you're going to praise God, go ahead and praise Him. Amen. 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 We don't have to pray about whether we need to praise Him or not. The Word of God tells us, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And by the way, let me say this again. I, You've heard me say this before, but I want to say it again. He's talking to himself. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have some mental issues if you're talking to yourself. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Can I say that again? Sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we need to jerk the slack out of our own self. Amen. We don't have to wait for somebody else to do it. We can do it ourselves. Just jerk the slack out of our own self. Tighten up, James. You know better than that. You know what the Word of God says. You know what God has promised you. You know what God said He would do. You know what He's already done for you. And that's where David was. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name." Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know? Think about this for a moment. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name." Think about this for a moment. It blesses God when we praise Him. Or we can say it this way. It pleases God. It brings Him pleasure when His creation blesses Him, praise His name. Hallelujah. Don't you want to please God? I said, don't you want to please God? One way to do that is to praise His name. Turn, hold your place here at Psalm 103 and just go backwards to the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. So see, sometimes we're dealing with things, or we're dealing with people, or whatever the case may be, and we're down in the dumps, and we go to church, and it's time to praise the Lord collectively in our service, and you sit there and you think, "Wow, you know what? I just don't feel like praising the Lord today. You know, I've been through, I've had a tough week. I've had a tough time on my job. You know, I had bills come in that I can't pay right now, and then Sister such and such looked at me funny, and then you can go on and on and on, and I just don't feel like praising the Lord. I'm just going to sit here and watch everybody else praise the Lord. I'm just going to sit here and hope the praise and worship service is short." And I hope Pastor's message is going to be short too today. Because I'm just not feeling it. I mean, I've had it up to here. Well, that's the time to praise the Lord, my brother, my sister. Amen. That's the time to get rid of that heavy load that you carry. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Psalm 34, listen at what, this is another psalm of David. Listen to what he said, and we need to take on this same attitude. I will. Everybody say, "I will."
I will.
First of all, you have to understand that praising God is an act of your will. Anything we do for the Lord is an act of our will. You know, God doesn't make us do anything. He wants us to do it because we choose to. Amen. So it's an act of our will. So David said, I will bless the Lord. And not just bless the Lord, but listen to what he said. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. That means you praise him when you feel like it. You praise him when you don't feel like it. You praise him when things look good. You praise him when they don't. Hallelujah. Ask somebody, are you still praising him? Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast where? Amen. I'm going to boast in the Lord. So I'm not going to boast in what I have. I'm not going to worry about what I don't have. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Now look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now David said, listen to what he said. Now listen, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now he's already made up his mind what he's going to do. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Now he's asking for some company. He's asking for some company. He's inviting others to come in. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let what? Us. Let who?
Us.
Let who?
Us
exalt his name together. It's good when we do it by ourselves. It is so much better when we can all do it together. Because if we're magnifying the Lord together, we're not fussing at one another. When we're magnifying the Lord together, we are in unity. When we're magnifying the Lord together, we are focused. So he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I'm going to add in verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Can I tell you something? God hears the praiser. God hears the worshiper. I sought the Lord and he heard me. What else did he do? And delivered me from all my fears. Notice what it said there. He didn't necessarily say that the problem was gone, but his fear of it was gone. The Bible tells us, for God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There's stuff going on all the time. But we got to be delivered from the fear of it. So he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God has not called us to live a life of fear. John tells us about that. He says, fear has torment. Fear is tormenting. Praise the name of the Lord. You still with me? Let's go back to Psalm 103. See, folks, we have a reason to praise him. Hallelujah. So Psalm 103, verse 1 again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Then he says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he said this, and forget not all his benefits. God has many, many, many benefits for his people, and he does not want us to forget any of them. You hear me? Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? And this is where we were last week, talking about the fact that not only does Jesus forgive our sins, forgive us of our sins, but he heals all of our diseases. Praise God. Now we're coming back to the 103rd Psalm, 103. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. Is that all right? You know, I like to call Matthew chapter 8 the healing chapter. The healing chapter. Praise God. Let's do an overview of I tell you what let's do. Because I'm probably not going to finish tonight anyway. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 8, okay? First of all, let's look at the first four verses, first 1-4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, listen to this. Now see, there's some valuable lessons that we can learn from Matthew chapter 8. So that's the reason I just want to read it. He says, verse 2, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, this leper, first of all, was recognizing the power and the anointing that Jesus Christ walked in. First of all, he called him Lord. And then, later on, he told him what he knew he could do for him. You still here? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This leper knew that he could be healed if the Lord was willing to do that for him. He knew he had the power and the ability to do it. The only thing in the leper's mind that would keep him from being healed or cleansed of leprosy was if Jesus was willing to do it. You still here? And I like what Jesus said. Glory to God. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Ooh, glory. The moment Jesus said, I am willing, it was done. It was a done deal as far as the leper is concerned, because he had already stated the fact that Jesus is Lord. He had already stated the fact that Jesus had the ability to set him free, to cleanse him. The only hindrance he had was he wasn't sure if Jesus was willing to do it. And so Jesus touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. What happened after that? Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. But you see, that's the same issue many of us deal with sometimes. We know that, first of all, we know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. He's Lord of lords, King of kings. You know, we know all of that. And we know that he can do anything that he want to do. Because we make our confession, God is all powerful. With God, nothing is impossible. And we hear of miracles that God has done in the lives of other people, and we praise God with them. But when it comes to us personally, too many times we question whether he is willing to do it for us. Am I right? That was the only thing that stood between the leper and his cleansing, was the knowledge that Jesus was willing to do it. He touched him, immediately he was cleansed. Hallelujah. All through the Gospels, we would hear Jesus say things like, only believe. Do you believe, or will you believe? The question is still being asked of us today. Do you believe? So, one lesson we learn from the leper is Jesus is willing to heal. We read 1 Peter 2:24 last week. By his stripes we were healed. Amen. Let's read on a little bit. All righty. Matthew chapter 8, continuing. Let's look at verse 5. Continue at verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him. Centurion was Roman soldier, I believe he was a captain, saying, Lord, notice how he was addressed, how Jesus was addressed, Lord, okay? Verse 8 again, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Glory to God. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." See that? Not even in Israel. "And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have what? Believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed when? His servant was healed that same hour. Glory to God. Glory to God. Once again, there was a request made of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will." Only to the centurion, he said in a little different way. But it was he would not have done anything that was not the will of the Father. He's still here. While we're traveling, Matthew chapter 8, let's take another look. "Now when Jesus had," this is verse 14, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother," that's Peter's mother-in-law. Amen. I believe Peter had a good relationship with his mother-in-law. I believe that. Hope so. Verse 14 again, "Now when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Listen to this. "So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them." And I ministered this a few months back, this part here. And I pointed out the fact that Jesus touched her and the fever left her and she rose up to do what? Serve. She rose up to serve. Sometimes folk get healed, but they forget to serve. God's called all of us to serve, didn't he? Hallelujah. God doesn't heal us so we can, put on our best clothes and go down to the club. So we can show all of our drinking buddies how, "Look, man, I got healed. I can dance again." God doesn't heal us to serve the devil. God heals us to serve him and to serve others in his name. So verse 15 says, "And she rose and served them." Now, let's read on, verse 16. "When evening had come, they brought to him many," everybody say many, "many who were demon-possessed." And what did Jesus do? He cast out the spirits with a word. And that ain't all he did. And he did what? Heal all who were sick. And this was, he was fulfilling the purpose of his coming. Amen. By his stripes we were healed. Isaiah prophesied it. By his stripes we are healed. Peter said, by his stripes we were healed. So verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Glory to God. Glory to God. You still here? Thank you, Lord. Y'all want to go on a little while longer? All right. We still in Matthew chapter 8. Let's read on. Let's see where I want to pick it up at again. Well, let's just read. Is that all right? All right. Verse 18. And when I saw, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me, let the dead bury their own dead. Amen to that, and we'll move on. 23, now when he got into a boat, see now, Matthew 8, healings, miracles. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Say, he was asleep. You know, that was his time of rest. Amen. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Glory to God. He's Lord of all, isn't he? Amen. He is Lord of all. And they're talking about sometime tomorrow a storm coming in our direction. We're going to pray about that thing before we go home tonight. You hear me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is still alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, Jesus ain't done working miracles yet. Look at verse 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, or Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Mean devils would not allow anybody to pass that way. But then Jesus came by. Now, don't you find it mighty curious? Let me read verse 29 again to you. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God?" Are y'all catching this? The devil know who he is. Let me say this again. The devil knows who Jesus is. The devil knows that he is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Have you come here to torment us before the time? You have to understand, the devil knows that their time is limited. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Satan knows that his time is short. And folks, that's the reason you're seeing all this mess going on in our world today. Crazy stuff. My wife read me something earlier today, which I will not repeat, but it's just awful. Some stuff that people are doing and getting into. It's dark. But the devil knows that his time is short. He's not going to be here for all eternity. No. He's not going to be here very much longer. And so those devils got really upset. They said, there he is. There is the Son of God. Ooh, is today the day that we're cast into the lake of fire? Is today the day we got to stand before God Almighty? Jesus, did you come? Jesus, Son of God, did you come to torment us before the time? They understand they have a time period. But they don't want God to change his mind and shorten the time. But let me read on. Praise God, hallelujah. So suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out," they knew what was about to happen. "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." Notice, he said, "Go." You know, it's amazing to me how some folks make a big deal out of casting out a devil. You would think some of them, you know, they want to bring lunch and just have a party and just show off. No. Jesus didn't look around and say, "Look at here, boys, I'm going to show you how much power I got." Jesus said, "Go." And what happened when Jesus said, "Go"? He said, "Go." And they went. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Them pigs wasn't demon possessed for long. I can imagine them devils cussing up a storm, saying, "Man, we're out of a house again." That didn't last any longer than they could run down the hill and drown themselves. Guess what? Then they started looking for somebody else to possess. Why do you think the devil want demons, devils want to possess people? Because that's their highest. In other words, they can express themselves. I guess you'd say that's the highest level or degree of expression. Even in a pig, they can only do so much. But a person full of the devil can cause a lot of destruction. You hear me? So they prefer people. Matter of fact, Jesus said, when a devil is cast out, he walk about in dry places, but he's not satisfied because he wants to be able to express themselves, himself. So they'll go back to the old house they came out of. If nothing going on in there, guess what? They go back, taking seven others more wicked than themselves. Now that person's in a worse state than they were before. That's the reason for a person get delivered from demonic spirits. They don't need to play around. They need to get with God. Get in the Word of God. Amen. Stay in church. Live for God. So when that devil come back around checking, they find there's no space in here for me. These folks are full of the Holy Ghost. They're on fire for God. Might I go find somebody else? I got to quit. So Matthew chapter 8 is a powerful chapter. But let me finish. So they fled down violently. They ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, listen to this, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. But get this. This is the sad part. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. They was more concerned about their pigs than they were about their souls. Not knowing that Jesus could have blessed them back so much more. Can you think about it? Jesus, you're not welcome here. Please leave. Tell you one thing, I bet the devils didn't leave. So hopefully the men that were set free preached the gospel to those folks. And maybe some of them believed. Hopefully they did. Praise God. I know Psalm 103 says he heals all of our diseases. But I just wanted to share chapter 8, Matthew, with you, because it's such a powerful chapter. And I want to encourage you to read it over and over and over again. Get it on the inside of you. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So if you're sick in your body, start blessing the Lord. Yes, you stand on God's word, you stand on his promises, but you bless the Lord. You praise God. Don't listen to me, and I'm closing now. Don't you let anything or anyone steal your praise. Amen. I hope you heard me. Don't you let anything or anyone rob you of your praise. Hallelujah. If you're going to cry, let it be tears of joy. I say, if you're going to cry, let it be tears of joy. Let's do like David said. Let's bless, let's bless the Lord at all times. At all times. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the freedom and the liberty that you've given us to just bless your name.